All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Today is episode 69. Today's date, February 25th, 2022. We are going to be talking about Red Dawn. This is part 3. We are going to connect the dots. Now, before we get into today's topic, we have some other things that we need to cover. We're not going to have any of the usual paid advertisement breaks. I have a lot of material, so I'm just going to try and blaze through this. So, in respect to all of our sponsors, if you need precious metals, stevequayle.com is where you need to go. Renaissance Precious Metals. Give Steve a call. If you need any type of prepping, sustainable goods, camping goods, if you need any of the above when it comes to off-grid living, mountain-state-survival.com. Give Jeff a call if you need anything specific. He will help you. He's a very good man about that. And you also have a 5% discount code if you use Wrecker5. That's R-E-K-K-R-5. 5% discount code. Then we have Ready-Made Resources with Robert Griswold. Bob's a fantastic man. We're going to be having him on here pretty soon. And we're going to continue to talk about Russia and Red Dawn and where he thinks it's going from here. But if you need night vision, if you need ballistic helmets, he also sells a variety of food on his website. And if you need to learn how to take care of yourself during these most traumatic climatic times, you can give Robert Griswold a call at Ready Made Resources, and he will talk you through it and walk you through it on how to survive more efficiently and proficiently in your local area. Now, everywhere is different. Alaska's going to be different from Texas. So if you need to know how to respond to your weather better or respond to the times a little bit better, give Bob a call. Finally, if you go to AmericanVindictaShow.com, and you scroll down on the first page, you'll find one of our next sponsors, which is My Patriot Supply. Now, if you use that link through My Patriot Supply, I get a 10% payment for everything that you purchase. So it helps fund me, but it helps put food into your pantry. And I know you've heard me say this before. You don't have to go through me to get food. I'm not one of these guys who's going to be screaming and pounding on the table and yelling at you every day to go out, get food, and only food by me. I don't care. Just buy food. Buy food. Buy clean water. Get your beans, bullets, your band-aids. Get your guns oiled and cleaned. Bad things can be coming at any time, depending on how our government responds to Russia, to include also NATO and how they respond to Russia. Finally, also for the American Vindicta Show website, we'll be having some new things coming to that here pretty soon. We should be having another Wreckers Chronicle, so I think that'll be part 3. This should be a pretty interesting one. Now, I've said this before, but it takes a lot of money to buy these cameras, to buy the lighting, the microphones. Would just shake your head at how expensive a little bitty microphone the size of a stick of gum is. But you know what? That's the rock God has me on, to make good content to bring to you, the viewer, and hopefully wake up anyone that's out there that's still dazing and asleep. I cover a lot of material that typically is dark. I don't get up here and sing and dance and try to, you know, cut jokes and make you laugh. Everything that I do is very serious. I do my best to give you my personal opinion based off of my previous years of law enforcement and military and other things that I've done. And I try to give you my perspective, a worldly perspective, but a Christian lens on that worldly perspective. Now, I have been in a lot of bad places before. I've seen a lot of bad things. I've worked for some really good agencies, like my previous agency, DHS, great agency to work for. Horrific people at the top. The average GS-14, even some of the GS-15s and below, very good people, patriotic people. We're talking about the tippy top out there in D.C., the swamp. They're the ones who are ruining everything. Just look at our border. We're completely negating everything in our border. We've turned our population against each other. The government has. They fund everything that is unholy. They have done their best to completely dehumanize police and turn the population against police by more or less telling police to go through with their unconstitutional orders. Now, there are some give and takes with that. You don't have to go through with unconstitutional orders. I didn't. Many of my brethren in blue don't and absolutely refuse to. But for those of you out there who tarnish the badge, well, don't be surprised when people come running down the street after you with their pitchforks and their, and their torches. When people get pissed off enough, they're going to come after everybody. Everybody that has to do with the government. That's why I'm glad I'm out right now. I mean, just look at what's happened in Canada. I mean, my God, who would ever thought Canada would turn into Nazi Germany in 2022? Canada, I hope you can square yourselves away. God help us with everything that's happening right now. It's one thing I do want to continue to mention. Be reading your Bibles. Be praying. If you're a parent, be praying over your children. Don't just let them go off and do whatever they want. Hold them accountable by the Bible and hold yourself accountable. Not just by the laws of the Bible. Not just by the Ten Commandments. But hold yourself physically accountable. Get in physical shape right now while you have the time. Just look at what happened to Ukraine. One day, their president was joking that Russia will never come in. The next day, Russia's bombing the living hell out of their country and invading. Be prepared. Gold, your guns, your food, your water purifier, your bullets. Make sure you got the correct ammunition. Man, the other day I went in to buy some 6.5 Creedmoor, and they had a bulk of it, so I got like 6 or 8 boxes worth. And I use 147 grain Hornaday, it's a match grade. But I, for whatever reason, picked up 6.8 millimeters. So I don't know how I did that, but whenever you go to buy ammo, make sure that you buy the exact one that you need for your gun. Don't just do like I do and see the crowd coming and just scoop everything into your cart. That is what was happening, by the way. Interesting enough. When I first showed up at the gun shop, there wasn't very many people there, surprising to me. And then within a matter of minutes, I was trying to get some stuff done on a new firearm that I just bought, this CZ Scorpion I just bought. Cool little gun. So I'm getting some work done. I'm like, I'll get some ammo while I'm there. So I'm just scooping stuff into a cart, and it was about 3 of us there, and within about 10 minutes, there was at least 200 people there, and they were buying everything. So I don't know what scared the sheep, but they came a-running, and not calling anybody a sheep, But that's my soapbox stance right now. We got a lot of material to get into, so let's just dive right into it. This is Red Dawn Part 3, Connecting the Dots. All right. So right here at the beginning, we have some stuff to go over with the new developments in Ukraine. Obviously, most of you are keeping yourselves abreast of what's happening in Ukraine. But I had a listener of the show send me this. Thank you, brother. I told you I'd read it, so I'm going to. This is from Paul Craig Roberts, and it's titled, "They Didn't Hear What We Told Them, They had better here this time. A direct quote from Vladimir Putin. All right, so this is what the article says. Think back to 2014 when the U.S. overthrew the Ukrainian government and installed a neo-Nazi regime. The neocons were smirking, laughing at how easy it was to buffalo the Russians. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland publicly bragged about how the U.S. had spent $5 billion preparing to overthrow Ukraine. Much cheering of how Ukraine would now be used to destabilize Russia and seize the Russian Black Sea naval base. After a long, frustrating, humiliating 8 years of trying to get the West's attention that this was not a scheme Russia could accept, and after one last effort which got nowhere, Russia has acted. In his speech this morning, Putin explained the long years of Russian frustration in their efforts to achieve mutual security with the West, which remained intent on its own domination. Here are the opening words from Putin's address. I consider it necessary today to speak again about the tragic events in Donbas and the key aspects of ensuring the security of Russia. I will begin with what I said in my address on February 21, 2022. I spoke about our biggest concerns and worries about the fundamental threats which irresponsible Western politicians created for Russia consistently, rudely, and unceremoniously from year to year. I am referring to the eastward expansion of NATO, which is moving its military infrastructure ever closer to the Russian border. It is a fact that over the past 30 years, we have been patiently trying to come to an agreement with the leading NATO countries regarding the principles of equal and indivisible security in Europe. In response to our proposals, we invariably faced either cynical deception and lies or attempts at pressure and blackmail, while the North Atlantic Alliance continued to expand despite our protests and concerns. Its military machine is moving and, as I said, is approaching our very border. Why is this happening? Where did this insolent manner of talking down from the height of their exceptionalism, infallibility, and all permissiveness come from? What is the explanation for the contemptuous and disdainful attitude to our interests and absolutely legitimate demands? The answer is simple. Everything is clear and obvious. In the late 1980s, the Soviet Union grew weaker and subsequently broke apart. That experience should serve as a good lesson for us, because it has shown us that the paralysis of power and will is the first step towards complete degradation and oblivion. We lost confidence for only one moment, but it was enough to disrupt the balance of forces in the world. That's his quote. Now, the imbalance of force has been corrected, and since force is all the West understands, Russia is using force to end the use of Ukraine as a pawn against Russia. In the past, the stupid and arrogant West ignored Russia's warnings. In his address this morning, Putin gave another warning. If the Western leaders do not hear this warning, the West will cease to exist. Putin is quoted saying, I would now like to say something very important for those who may be tempted to interfere in these developments from the outside. No matter who tries to stand in our way, or all the more so create threats for our country and our people, they must know that Russia will respond immediately, and the consequences will be such as you have never seen in your entire history. No matter how the events unfold, we are ready. All the necessary decisions in this regard have been taken. I hope that my words will be heard. Well, we shall see, Vlad. I would like to thank the author of this article. It was very well written and very timely. Now, Vladimir Putin is now demanding that the Ukrainians disarm and remove their leadership. And I want you to listen to this from the Epoch Times, this article. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday called on the Ukrainian military to seize power in their country and overthrow their president, Volodymyr Zelensky, while the Kremlin said Putin is willing to send a delegation to Belarus to meet with Kiev officials. However, in a televised speech, Putin told the Ukrainian military that it would be easier for us to make a deal with you than with this gang of drug addicts and neo-Nazis, apparently referring to Ukraine's government. Putin said, I once again appeal to the military personnel of the armed forces of Ukraine. Do not allow neo-Nazis and Ukrainian nationalists to use your children, wives, and elders as human shields. Take power into your own hands. It will be easier for us to reach agreement. Putin's comments came after Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said that Moscow is willing to send a delegation to Minsk with Ukrainian officials to discuss a peace agreement. Earlier, President Zelensky said Ukraine is not fearful to talk about neutral status before he made security guarantees. The comments came as Russian tanks and troops appeared to have entered parts of Kiev, the capital, on Friday, amid heavy fighting with Ukrainian military forces. Ukraine's Minister of Defense wrote on social media that Russian troops were now in the Oblon district in northern Kiev. Listen to this, folks. He urged residents to manufacture Molotov cocktails to throw at Russian equipment. Before I read the rest of the article, I just want you to know that is a dumbass statement to make for your citizens to make improvised explosive devices, improvised flammable explosive devices, to then throw at Russian armor. What do you think they're going to be met with? They're going to be met with a howitzer and then by Spetsnaz. Indirect fire from artillery, from mortars, from rockets. I understand that there's a war going on for your country. But sometimes you also need to not put out that information, I guess you could say, online on Twitter. I mean, even if that's what you choose to do, that's intelligence that can be used against you once you're caught. What do you think the Russians will do? Oh, look at this. This is the idiot who said, make Molotov cocktails to burn all my troops. What do we do with you now? Anyways, going back to the article, horrific Russian rocket strikes on Kiev. This is the same guy saying this. Horrific rocket strikes on Kiev last time. Our capital experienced anything like this was 1941 when it was attacked by Nazi Germany. Calling on the rest of the world to sever all ties with Russia. A senior U.S. Defense Department official told news outlets on Friday that Western intelligence believes Russia has faced more resistance than they had anticipated in Ukraine. That's actually true. The Ukrainians have been putting up one hell of a fight against Russia, but for how long can they do it? Going back to this, we do assess that there is greater resistance by the Ukrainians than the Russians expected. The official said, adding the command and control of Kiev's military are still intact. They are not moving on Kiev as fast as what we believe they anticipated they would be able to. That said, they continue to try to move on Kiev. Russia, however, has not mobilized its full forces that are positioned around Ukraine. No NATO country, including the United States, has sent troops to Ukraine. President Joe Biden said in a speech on Thursday that he will not deploy American forces in Ukraine. So, what he's doing is he's deploying the forces all around Ukraine and the Baltics. But the fighting is happening in Ukraine. So it's kind of confusing. The move prompted President Zelensky of Ukraine in a late-night address to say that he is frustrated with some European countries for not deploying their forces. When bombs fall on Kiev, it happens in Europe, not just in Ukraine. When missiles kill our people, they kill Europeans. Around the same time, Zelensky said that he believes Russian forces were hunting him and his family, according to reports. But you damn well bet they are. My suggestion to Mr. Zelensky would be to go into even deeper hiding and to stop tweeting. The only thing that you should be trying to do right now is either figure out how to work out a parlay or how to work up a effective military response to Russia. But, you know, good luck with that if no one else is going to step in, which is what's sad. We're willing to go and defend other countries, but the one that's crying out to us that we had to sit around and play hooky with, we're not helping out at all. We're just watching Russia take over. But yet we pound on the table, Russia will never be a superpower. Russia will never be this. We'll never allow the Soviet Union to come back. And yet we're allowing it, aren't we? We're not doing any damn thing about it. Here's what's sad. I'm a fan of boxing. And I want to read this to you real quick. I don't know if you know who the Klitschko brothers are. But they're both two former world heavyweight champion boxers. Now, Vitaly Klitschko says he will take up arms alongside his brother, Vladimir, to defend Ukraine after their home country was invaded by Russia. Vitaly, the former heavyweight champion boxer who has been the mayor of Kiev since 2014, says he is ready to fight. Quote, "I don't have another choice. I'll be fighting. I believe in Ukraine. I believe in my country, and I believe in my people." That's very admirable. His brother Vladimir, also a former heavyweight champion, enlisted in Ukraine's reserve army earlier this month, saying that love for his country compelled him to defend it. "The Ukrainian people are strong," said Vladimir. "Ukraine will remain true to itself in this terrible ordeal. A people longing for sovereignty and peace, a people who consider the Russian people their brothers. The Ukrainian people have chosen democracy, but democracy is a fragile regime. Democracy cannot defend itself. It needs the will of the citizens, the commitment of everyone." That is absolutely true. Quick question. When America finally gets attacked, how many people will sign up for the militias, for the army reserves to go and fight against whatever evil entity, the aliens, the Chinese, the Russians, the COVID, whatever it is that's coming to take down our freedoms? How many people do you think will sign up? Are you listening? Would you sign up? Are you in the physical, capable, mental ability to? Can you defend your homeland if it itself is invaded? Can you defend your own land, not just the homeland? Questions we have to ask. They are real questions. Ask the Ukrainians. I buy some stuff off of this one guy from Ukraine off of eBay occasionally, as these little toys that my kids like. And me and my wife are going to fill up our gas cans again this morning. And I said, damn, that guy that we get these little toys for the kids from is in Ukraine. That's why we haven't heard from him. I truly hope that man is okay. I truly do. We don't realize how interconnected our worlds really are. You know, we do commerce all around the world. It's just strange to see this. You know, we drag our knuckles about everything, but whenever people actually want our help, America's nowhere to be found. That's this politician, these politicians, though. Not Americans. Not red-blooded, patriotic, by God, you will not take my gun out of my cold, dead hands, Americans. These are our politicians doing this, playing games with people's lives. The same games they're more than willing to play with your life. The same people who are more than willing to shut the doors on all the bunkers when the nukes start to fall. Same people. It's a big club, as George Carlin said. And you and I, we ain't in it. All right, moving on. In the esprit de corps of Red Dawn, let's look at some historical analysis. Now, this is something I pulled up off the internet on a website called Quora. Really good dialogue from people in there if you're a history buff. There's always really cool stuff that's in there. I don't remember the gentleman who said this, but this is totally his words, not mine, so I'm not accrediting myself to it, but I couldn't find his dang name. But anyways, to whoever wrote this, I agree with you. So it says that, I would normally expect a Soviet invasion of North America to fail on the grounds of a lack of local support. Once again, we're talking about Red Dawn, okay? In my answer to how would you see the United States getting invaded without the use of nuclear weapons, I suggested people would do well to look at the McHugh science fiction novel China Mountain Zhang. There, the United States was successfully invaded by China because one of the major factions actively invited Chinese intervention. If there actually was, in the Red Dawn alternate history, a sizable body of pro-Soviet Americans willing to collaborate with the invaders, maybe the invasion might be manageable. Maybe. Beyond that, it would ultimately come down to a matter of political will in the Soviet Union. The invasion of Afghanistan was not something that the late 1970s Soviet Union sought out, but it was something that the establishment felt committed to in order to support a client government and to avoid a loss of Soviet prestige. To this end, the Soviet Union was ultimately willing to wage an unrestricted war in Afghanistan, one that killed between 500,000 and 2 million Afghans and displaced millions more. If this Soviet Union did invade the United States, presumably, its leadership thought not only that some sort of successful invasion was possible, but that it was necessary to do so. Certainly. The massive destruction inflicted on China in the movie Red Dawn, as well as a relatively targeted destruction inflicted on key American sites, including cities, indicates strongly that, if necessary, the sort of levels of destruction suffered by Afghanistan would be at least imaginably applied in the United States. I agree with that. The amount of war that can be brought to a city, and I've been a part of this before, is something that's unparalleled. The average militia, the average city, does not have the ability to call in a heavy mortar strike, a heavy artillery strike. They do not have anti-ballistic missiles. They don't have ballistic missiles. They don't have anti-tank missiles. They don't have MVGs. They don't have thermal optics. They don't have attack helicopters. They don't have amphibious assault vehicles. They don't have tanks. They don't have light amphibious vehicles that can then put enemy infantry into an area. The average city does not have that. Period. You may have a contingency with the military, maybe with the National Guard base. You may have a few guys out there who collect World War II and Vietnam stuff, but for the most part, your average American who would be your patriot that's going to be fighting is going to have light body armor, probably level 3 body armor, maybe a helmet, and it may not be a ballistic helmet, and typically some sort of an AR-15, and then some variant of a pistol, all right, maybe a shotgun. But for the most part, because we replicate what the military does. Law enforcement replicates what the military does. And then the civilians replicate what law enforcement and the military carry when it comes to tactical equipment. So for the most part, we should all be similar. All right. Now, the problem would go to with a professional army like Russia or China. They're going to have the same weapon system. They're going to have the same sidearms. Which means, if they need to collect ammo off their dead brothers, it's too easy to walk up and take the magazines. If it's me and you, I'm carrying a Glock 19 or a Glock 22. You may be carrying a Smith & Wesson or a 1911 or a revolver. You may not have, you may be shooting a 30-06 and I got a 6.5 Creedmoor. You know, most people at least will have an AR-15. That means the ability to then share magazines should be accurate, should be capable. But then, you know, the clock really stops there. Because when we talk about Red Dawn, you have to discuss a community coming together, hopefully coming together, and then assaulting on target any type of military occupations or occupiers who are either in the vicinity or coming towards the vicinity of your area of operations. So what does that military lingo mean? It means if I know the bad guys are on the highway coming to my city, then me and all my buddies are going to meet over here. We're going to rally. We're going to get in communications, hopefully, with the other militias on the other side of the city or the county. We're going to try and coordinate, probably also with law enforcement, who would more than likely lead the assault. Because typically within the chains of command, you're going to allow the uniformed services who are in active duty lead. We'll see if that's capable in America. But that's how you would kind of want it. You would want the sheriff to be involved. You'd want the sheriff to be the lead security officer or law enforcement officer of your area, who then would disseminate to the local militias what it is that they want done. But there's a difference here, because militias and then law enforcement, two different things. They actually need to be left alone. Law enforcement needs to peace the people, and then militias need to be the exterior roving defense force for the community. There, that's why it's disparaging whenever you have militias or military start to do law enforcement missions, because there is a training there that other people don't have, like what law enforcement has. And then there's a brain connection there that, you know, some of my young Marines, some of my 18, 19 year old Marines, I would not want them on a policing action around kids or around, you know, just saying it, around a bunch of women. You know, I want a professional law enforcement officer doing his job. You can be backed up by militias, most certainly. You can be backed up by veterans. You can be backed up by military. But not to lead that mission. Likewise, I don't want law enforcement leading a military mission. I want law enforcement stayed in place. They are the internal security, then you have the external security, okay? I think we've beaten this horse to death already. All right, now, would American gun owners be able to defeat these capable and ruthless Soviet Russian Federation invaders? Huh. No more than their counterparts in Iraq were able to defeat the Americans, us. No more than their counterparts in Afghanistan were able to defeat the Soviets or the Brits or the Americans. The withdrawals from Iraq and Afghanistan were driven by political imperatives, by the unwillingness of superpowers to continue to wage a costly and unpopular counterinsurgency war that they could not win. No matter how much we threw at the Iraqis or the Afghanis, we would have a $4 million vehicle that has all this cool technological crap on it, and then we would have all these minesweepers on it, and the stuff that's detecting metal and, you know, radio jamming equipment that would give you radiation burns and probably is going to have cancer one day, which probably explains my frequent bout of headaches. But all that combined, you know what they would do? They would then go, well, if the Americans keep finding our bombs that are primarily made out of, you know, metal, well, we'll just make them out of wood then. And damn, wouldn't you know it? It worked. It worked. Then our troops were stepping on them, blowing their legs off. Our vehicles were rolling over it, blowing a wheel off. You don't have to destroy the entire vehicle. You just have to incapacitate it. That's all it took. It took 50 pounds of black powder or some sort of homemade explosive, a wooden box, a detonator cap, and some cord, and either it's remote detonated or it's command detonated, and you're done. So, guerrilla warfare style, yeah, it can be effective. But this is what then happens. What then happens is that me and my buddies dismount in our vehicle, and we have all this latest and greatest gear that we carry and all the guns that we carry, and then we go and we harass the civilian populace until we scare the hell out of enough people that they tell me where you live, and then we come and get you in the middle of the night. That's what you'll face if China or Russia invades and are successful. I still can't formulate how they would be successful in getting over here unless the power is taken down. It just, I can't formulate anything in my mind that makes sense. It could be a series of nuclear bombs. That's capable. That's probable. But mutually assured destruction. So would they then want the return salvo of nuclear weapons aimed at them and then fired at them? I don't think so. You know, nuclear weapons are an outdated form of warfare, just like aircraft carriers are an outdated form of warfare. They work against a tiny population of people who don't have air superiority, but we're talking about two superpowers who are willing to destroy the world over each other. I think we would find other means of fighting. I don't think we would avoid fighting. I'm just saying I think we would find other ways to fight. And I'm not taking nuclear weapons off the table. They are always going to be on the table. Just like suicide bombers will always be on the table. Mass shootings will always be on the table. Assassinations and poisonings will be on the table. Targeted assassinations and kidnappings of very important people will always be on the table. But, you know, when you talk about using nukes, come on, man. That's a bad one. That's a bad one. Everyone will shoot a nuke back at you. So, but, you know, that's the world we live in. We constantly live in a world where we have thousands, like 7,000 to 8,000 nuclear weapons capable of being launched at any moment. There will be no more world. Which is why, to me, it doesn't make sense because it's never really mentioned biblically. Which is where I always go to whenever I have my questions, my doubts. I always let God guide me. I'm not saying that it couldn't be comparable to wormwood. Could, you know, sounds like wormwood a lot when you talk about, you know, more or less poisoning the rivers and the waters of, what, 3/4 of the world, 1/4 of the world? All right, so let's move on. I'm running out of time. Now, in regards to Red Dawn, when we talk about Russian military and their capability, and some experts believe is the lack of advanced military technology, despite the disclaimers, Putin does have a few very serious weapons of his own up his sleeve. First, the 9 Mike 730 Brevesnik. I got to really brush up on my Ruski. Brevesnik. Or the Petrel missile. It's also the nomenclature from NATO is the SS-X-9 Skyfall. This is a Russian experimental nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed cruise missile under development for the Russian armed forces. The missile has an essentially unlimited range. The missile is one of 6 new Russian strategic weapons unveiled by President Vladimir Putin on March 1st, 2018. The cruise missile received the name Petrel, which is a bird species that literally means storm crier or storm bringer in Russian, as a result of an open vote on the website of the Ministry of Defense of Russia. The Soviet Union and later Russia have been uncertain since the 1980s to what extent their ICBM nuclear arsenal is nullified by the United States anti-ballistic missile system, the Strategic Defense Initiative. Now, that's proposed by the Reagan administration, by the way, and it's commonly known as the Star Wars program. This type of weapon flies under the ballistic weapon shield And it is a part of President Putin's broader program to attempt what he sees as a rebalancing of the Russian nuclear strike capability. The Russian defense industry began developing this intercontinental range nuclear-powered cruise missile capable of penetrating any interceptor-based missile defense system. It is said to have an unlimited range and ability to evade missile defenses. A major stage of trials of the cruise missile at the Burevestnik complex, the tests of the nuclear power plant anyways that runs it, that runs the missile, were successfully completed in January 2019. Now, the missile is about 36 feet long. It's a cruise missile. So it will fly at low altitude, and it'll be hard to detect, hard to stop, hard to catch up to. And it's nuclear powered and carrying a nuclear warhead. So that's a nasty bomb right there. You also have the Tsar Bomb. Now, the Tsar Bomba is the most powerful thermonuclear weapon ever detonated, as no other bomb that big has ever even been tested, right? So they currently hold the world title for the biggest nuclear weapon. Russia also has, the cyber warfare capabilities. Now, I'm going to play something from Tucker Carlson real quick, and then I want you to understand why I keep saying cyber warfare from Russia needs to be taken serious along with taking down the power grid.
Mark Warner, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, just announced that Russia could be potentially close to triggering what's known as Article 5 of the NATO alliance. That's a collective defense principle. So if Russia were to launch a cyber attack on Ukraine, Warner explained, an attack that affects nearby NATO members like Poland or Lithuania, then possibly every NATO country, including ours, the United States, would be obligated to declare war on Russia. Here he is explaining.
One of the things that I'm gravely concerned about is if Russia unleashes its full cyber power against Ukraine, once you put malware into the wild, in a sense, it knows no geographic boundaries. So if the Russians decide they're going to try to turn off the power, turn off all the electricity all across Ukraine, very likely that may turn off the power in eastern Poland and eastern Romania. That could affect our troops. If suddenly hospitals are shut down, if those NATO troops, American troops, somehow have a car accident because the stoplights don't work. We are suddenly in an area, hypothetically, an Article 5, where one NATO country is attacked. We all have to come to each other's aid.
So Warner is certainly right. That could add, that hypothetical that he outlined could happen. Any cyber attack on Ukraine could well affect the infrastructure of their Eastern European countries. That would be bad. It would be a crime. The civilized world would deplore it. But Article 5 is not a mechanical mechanism. Human beings have to decide to invoke it. And the question is what the senator just described something that is worth risking a nuclear conflict over?
Well, I think that's very interesting. Do I think that they would start a war over taking down the power grid of America? Absolutely. Do I think anyone would come to our aid? Absolutely not. Look what's happening to Ukraine. No one is coming to Ukraine's aid. Oh, they would probably sanction Russia and China for doing that to us. But then also, the world would probably eventually say, well, now that we can finally shut you up, America, we're going to talk to you about something. You are kind of a bully. And you do use your bully pulpit to bully your way onto the World Economic Fund. You do bully your way with your military and then your petrol dollar. So now it's time to shut you up and you sit in the corner for a little bit. And that's what China's going to do. China will more than likely have everyone that has any type of beef with America align with them after we go dark. And then they can say, now we're going to restructure America's government. We're going to solve the racist problems. We're going to help put in a new political ideology that's not so aggressive and not so friction-based like American politics are. and we're going to put America back on the right path that the New World Order is wanting. This is how we build America back better together as the world. Let that sink in. Let's talk about some Russian hacks, the potential of the Russian cyber warfare that's already happened in Ukraine. All right. In 2014, in March, a Russian cyber weapon called Snake, or Ouroboros, was reported to have created havoc on Ukrainian government systems. The Snake toolkit began spreading into Ukrainian computer systems in 2010. It performed computer network exploitation, or CNE, as well as highly sophisticated computer network attacks, or CNA. From 2014 to 2016, according to CrowdStrike, the Russian APT called Fancy Bear used Android malware to target the Ukrainian Army's rocket forces and artillery. Pay attention to this. They distributed an infected version of an Android app whose original purposes was to control the targeting data for the Delta 30 howitzer, the Delta-30 howitzer artillery units. Now, this app, used by Ukrainian officers, was loaded with the X-Agent spyware and posted online on military forums. CrowdStrike claims the attack was successful, with more than 80% of Ukrainian D-30 howitzers destroyed, the highest percentage loss of any artillery pieces in the army, a percentage that had never been previously reported and would mean the loss of nearly the entire arsenal of the biggest artillery piece of the Ukrainian armed forces. Now, according to the Ukrainian army, this number is incorrect in that the losses in artillery weapons were way below those reported and that these losses have nothing to do with the stated cause. But we know how disinformation is really spread, right? The U.S. government concluded after a study that a cyber attack caused a power outage in Ukraine, which left more than 200,000 people temporarily without power. The Russian hacking group, Sandworm, or the Russian government, were possibly behind the malware attack on the Ukrainian power grid, as well as a mining company and a large railway operator in December 2015. Now, you can continue to go on and on and on about all this, but we're running out of time, and I have some other pieces I need to play for you. Now, let's start to connect the dots and reveal the players in this game of Red Dawn. All right, we're done talking about Russia for right now. Let's talk about China. This is a compiled list of known politicians on the Chinese payroll. Granted, there are many others that we may not be able to include, but this is what I've got so far, and thank you to everyone who has sent me information on this. Many may be aware of just how entrenched the Communist Chinese Party is in our government, but to what extent? Did you know that in the summer of 2020 at the Hudson Institute, FBI Director Christopher Wray said the agency opens a China-connected investigation every 10 hours, and that of nearly 5,000 active counterintelligence cases in the U.S., almost half are China-related. But now we know that the FBI has canceled all that, so what happens now? Good question. We're going to go over some politicians that have direct payments from the Communist Chinese. All right, first on the list, Charles Balsany. Balsany served as the U.S. Representative for Louisiana's 3rd Congressional District until 2017 and co-chaired the U.S.-China Working Group. John Boehner, the former House Speaker, joined Squire Patton Boggs after he retired from the House in 2015. The lobbying firm has long represented the Chinese embassy in Washington. Boehner serves as a strategic advisor to the clients in the U.S. and abroad and will focus on global business development. John Christensen. Christensen served as a U.S. representative from Nebraska from 1995 to 99. And is now part of the Chinese telecom giant ZTE Corp, who hired him as a lobbyist after he left Congress. After the FBI investigation into ZTE's violations of sanctions on Iran became public, Christensen resigned from his position there. David Feierstein. Firestein served as a career diplomat from 1992 to 2010. After leaving the government, he joined the East-West Institute, where he spearheaded a series of dialogues between high-ranking political parties, leaders in the United States and in China. Let me see. Then you also have Mike Holtzman. Holtzman worked on the executive office of the president as special advisor for public affairs to the U.S. trade ambassador under Bill Clinton, and later served as an advisor to the director of policy planning staff at the State Department under Colin Powell. Holtzman is now a partner at public relations firm BLF Worldwide, where he managed the campaign for China's bid to host the 2008 Olympics. And there's also Donald Andy Purdy Jr. As a White House staff member in the George W. Bush administration, Purdy helped draft a cybersecurity strategy in 2003 known as the U.S. National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace before moving to the Department of Homeland Security, where he helped craft cybersecurity initiatives and served as the lead cyber official at DHS and the U.S. government. He later became the chief security officer for China's Huawei's U.S. operations. Ambassador Clark T. Rant Jr. Rant served as a U.S. ambassador to China from 2011 to 2009. Since 2009, he has served as a president of Rant & Company, LLC, which advises companies doing businesses in China. He is a special advisor in Beijing to the Beijing Investment Consultancy and Company, and sits on the advisory board of numerous organizations with business interests closely tied to China. Matt Salmon. Salmon served as a U.S. representative for Arizona's 5th Congressional District and chaired the Asia and Pacific Subcommittee on the House Foreign Relations Committee. And then we have James D. Wolfensohn. A former president of the World Bank Group, Wolfensohn has served as a member of the International Advisory Committee of the Cabinet for China Investment Corporation, China's Sovereign Wealth Fund. Now, with all that being said, there are things that we're going to get into tomorrow where we are going to directly name you politicians that are actually involved with China and that China views to be most favorable or not favorable. But we are going to leave you with this little statement from former State Department Mike Pompeo.
Received an invitation to an event that promised to be, quote, an occasion for exclusive deal-making. It said, quote, the opportunities for mutually beneficial economic development between China and our individual states are tremendous, end of quote. Deal-making sounds like it might have come from President Trump, but the invitation was actually from a former governor. I was being invited to the U.S.-China Governors Collaboration Summit. It was an event co-hosted by the National Governors Association and something called the Chinese People's Association for Friendship and Foreign Countries. Sounds pretty harmless. What the invitation did not say is that the group I just mentioned, is the public face of the Chinese Communist Party's official foreign influence agency, the United Front Work Department. Now, I was lucky. I was familiar with that organization from my time as the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. But it got me thinking, how many of you made the link between that group and Chinese Communist Party officials? What if you made a new friend while you were at that event? What if your new friend asked you for introductions to other politically connected and powerful people? What if your new friend offered to invest big money in your state, perhaps in your pension, in industries sensitive to our national security? These aren't hypotheticals. These scenarios are all too true, and they impact American foreign policy significantly. Indeed, last year, a Chinese government-backed think tank in Beijing produced a report that assessed all 50 of America's governors on their attitudes towards China. They labeled each of you friendly, hardline, or ambiguous. I'll let you decide where you think you belong. Someone in China already has. Many of you, indeed, in that report are referenced by name. So here's the lesson. The lesson is that competition with China is not just a federal issue. It's why I wanted to be here today, Governor Hogan. It's happening in your states with consequences for our foreign policy.
All right, that has to do with the National Governors of America's meeting, and Mike Pompeo was invited to speak at that. I believe that was 2020. And it just goes to show just how entrenched the Communist Chinese is within our own culture, within our own politics. Now, once again, this is how we connect the dots. It takes a very long time to find this spider web of spies, but we will. We will assuredly connect every dot that's out there to give you the reason why Red Dawn is maybe more probable than what Hollywood thought it was. Now, I would tell you this, to pay attention to the world right now, Jen Psaki just announced that the Biden administration is ready to sanction Putin himself. So things are escalating. The fires are being turned up, so to say, politically. Let us all be blanketed under the protection of Christ right now. Like I said, stay prepared, stay physically prepared, mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, and pay attention to the signs and the times. My name is Doug Thornton, and you've been listening to American Vindicta.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.